Welcome to episode number 92 for the National Land Realty Podcast, where we discuss all things land. Our goal here is to inform, educate, and entertain those of you who own land or are interested in the buying and selling of land throughout the United States. My name is Mac Christian, and I am the Chief Marketing Officer here at National Land Realty. I'll be your host for this episode. Now, hunting with a friend, competing against other hunters, and potentially winning thousands in prizes. This is the idea behind Quest Hunt. Through a simple registration process, hundreds of hunters from across the United States are registering as teams to compete for prizes that are given away at an exclusive banquet at the end of the hunting season. Now, do you think that you have improved your hunting land to produce the biggest bucks in your state? This is how you put it to the test. Brian Austin is a National Land Realty agent in Missouri, and he's the brain behind Quest Hunt. He's here today to talk about it. Now sit back and enjoy. Okay, we have a special treat here today, and I'm here with Brian Austin. And Brian, you're with Quest Hunt Company, and this is a unique app that you put together. I want you to define it rather than me reading the notes and going through your website and trying to interpret it. I would much rather have the creator here describe what you've got going on with Quest Hunt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. First off, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Quest Hunt's pretty unique, man. We started this thing in 2017, and the idea at the time was pretty simple. We just wanted to bring a two-man whitetail hunting tournament to the everyday hunters. You know, at the time we kind of launched this, we were looking at CrossFit Games was huge, you know, and with CrossFit Games, you had a whole bunch of people that were doing these workouts essentially in their home gym, right? And it was to be a part of something bigger, a bigger community. And at the same time, we kind of saw like a huge growth in like fantasy sports, you know? So it's like everybody's watching the NFL on Sundays. Well, fantasy football just gave them another reason to watch. And that was kind of the goal of Quest, just give people who already hunt another reason to be active, another reason to be involved. And so that's what we did. Essentially, it's a two-person tournament. So two people sign up. It's $125 a person, so $250 a team. They sign up, they go out and hunt and harvest a deer, combine those scores and compete against all the other scores within their state. We've been able to grow fast enough that our prize pack's really, really big. We pay out 50 grand in prizes per state. So that's that 50 grand spread out across the top 10 teams in each state. And at the end of the year, it kind of all culminates into one big banquet where we have all the participants come in. We have their deer officially scored, and we actually put them through a lie detector test to make sure that the deer were hunted legally and within the rules.
That is one I did not know. You put it in this. I think that this is something that could catch on worldwide with any outdoor sport. You put on a lie detector test.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and originally that wasn't part of the plan, but what we found really early on is people were super worried about, you know, how are we going to keep this thing legit and keep the people who are doing it the wrong way out. And luckily through a bass tournament connection, we knew a guy that was doing these lie detector tests, and we're like, oh, okay. And so it was kind of something that was requested by our participants and something I'm really glad that we're doing.
I want to do this with all of my friends.
I know. Yeah. My wife wants to, yeah, that's what she says every year, that she wants to sit on the other side of that panel. So.
Oh, I was going to say, that's dangerous, too. I don't know if I could introduce it in my house. I'll be like, yes, I absolutely clean the toilet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you get it? So you mentioned you started this in with the popularity of different things where you've gamified real life, where the CrossFit games and things like that. So if somebody wants to enter this, it does it have to do with, is it individual harvest, or are you going to states with multi-harvest?
Yeah, so it's unique per state, right? In some states, like the state of Missouri where I'm at, you can actually harvest multiple deer a year. But what we wanted to do to kind of level the playing field with this team format was we wanted to make each participant have to add to their team score. So like your ringers, your guy that just consistently killed giant deer, had to bring a teammate in to kind of level it out. So it takes one deer from each participant.
One deer from each participant. Okay, now I got you. So as you thought of this whole thing, how did this come about? Where were you, you know, where did the idea come from? Because I have in my head, like sitting around at a hunting camp talking about, you know, comparing, you know, who did what. How right. did this come about?
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of two things. Me and the co-founder at the time, we were just sitting at lunch one day, having lunch, and we both had jobs that, you know, we were successful in, but neither one of us really loved to do. And we literally just kind of started talking about, he was a big bass fisherman. And so he was fishing bass tournaments on every weekend. And we're like, man, is there a way to bring this to the hunting space? You know, hunting was growing at the time, but needs to grow still, frankly. And we sat down and started etching out these ideas. And by the end of the lunch, we pretty well had laid it out what Quest is today.
And so as far as the, and I don't want to go behind the veil at all, but as far as the production side, how did you go about it? I'm always curious about the business part of things where, you know, you probably created a business plan and then it's out to find developers. Like how did you go about that process of like, I'm going to make an app and make a business out of it. And what do I do now?
Yeah. So I think there was a whole lot of what do I do now in the beginning, right? So we kind of had this idea, and what we had no understanding of at the time was exactly how much work it was going to be to really get this thing to market. We've rebuilt our backend portal, essentially where everything lives. I think this is the fourth time, you know, because we were running on a shoestring budget at the time. And so we kind of built a website with the best technology we could afford at the time, but it sure wasn't good enough to scale. And so then we brought it to market in the summer of 2018. And what we learned then, I think on the business side, probably the most challenging thing is, man, it's just really hard to reach people. And not only is reach hard to get, but beyond that, we were doing something that had never been done before. And so it took reach plus a whole lot of education. And that's, you know, that's frankly, that's still the battle we fight today. I mean, I live this business, so to me it comes real simple. But when you're trying to explain a whitetail tournament to somebody who's never done it before, they've got a whole lot of questions.
Yeah. So what has the reception been? You know, you started in 2018. What does the build look like in terms of acquiring users and kind of launching this tournament? Because it's not just a sort of gamified app. Like you're hosting a huge event out of this. People are winning, you know, real money out of this. It's not like they're professionals, you know, like, you know, it's not you have to go pro to be a member of this. You're just joining and seeing if you can get into the tournament, right? Like, so this is anybody and you're just kind of taking them in and everyone has a fair go. So what has reception been like?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the thing we touched on earlier, the original reception, you know, people were concerned about legitimacy. You know, not only legitimacy within the rules, but legitimacy of us. We came to market offering a $50,000 prize pack in each state and a pretty low entry fee. And so there was a whole lot in the beginning, too, of like almost too good to be true. Right. Like people are like, how is this going to work? And frankly, looking back at it, I don't know how it worked, you know, with the price of entry fee and what we were paying out. But it was just a big gamble on the front end. And just, man, yeah, just education. And we still struggle to reach people. I mean, I'm from right here in Springfield, Missouri. And I think the reality of what we're doing is even as successful as we've been, I could probably go to any bow shop in my hometown here and maybe 3 of 10 hunters know who we are. So there's a huge pool of hunters out there, but they're so hard to touch.
Oh yeah. So how do you bring this to market, or how have you brought this to market, and what have you learned in the process of bringing this to market?
Well, you know, first and foremost, our most effective advertising comes on social media, but that market, as you know, Mac, it's changing daily. And when you're a hunting based company, it's even tougher. You know, we've been banned on social a few times. We lost an Instagram following of 100,000 people, you know, just completely lost the account. So I can't sit here and tell you that we really have that formula yet, but it's just social media is great. Podcasts are phenomenal. And it's a whole lot of word of mouth. You know, frankly, probably our best growths come from just grassroots people people coming and being a part of it and seeing what it's all about, and then telling their friends.
You lost an account with 100,000. So like removed, like they removed it for what was gone. Getting posted.
Yep. Gone forever. Like no longer exists.
I got a special pain in my chest over that, hearing that, man. That's a rough one to hear. So,
yeah.
So when you are going to this, obviously, you know, I know this stuff well, listeners might not, but in the only thing worse than trying to market hunting online in something like this is firearms themselves, because of the heavy monitoring that they do. Just, and it's all liability, right? If somebody can trace something back, the bad that happened to a social media company who encouraged or let it be posted, then they take on liability. It's not them trying to police the world when it comes down to that stuff. It's they cover themselves with liability, and we are at the end of that. So is it simply the of what you're showing? So it's going to be animals taken in the field, blood, that kind of stuff that gets it banned. Is that what you're finding?
That's what's really, really tough, right? Is yeah, a lot of times when you're showing, you know, a photo of a, you know, a hunter harvest, and it's a hero shot of the person with the animal, you know, a lot of times that gets shut down. Like there's some spaces where you can't show that at all, or even a rack. You know, you can't show any parts of an animal, and there's some social spaces where you can. But yeah, it's just, you know, what we really promote, you know, where we've kind of switched to is we really just promote the community and the people that are a part of this, and make it less about the harvest and less about the animals themselves, and more about, dude, this is just a huge community of a whole lot of people who love to do the same thing and kind of celebrate that.
Yeah, that's, and for those of you out there that are engaged in social media, you'll find that, you know, if you have a private group, there those images can be shared. But if it's the general public, you've got to keep everything behind the veil. You can't be showing that stuff because anybody in the general public can see it. Some people take offense, and then social media companies have to hear about it. But what I'm curious of too, you're talking about the community of hunters and just outdoorsmen in general. It's an instant bond that anybody that hunts or fishes can engage with another hunter or fisherman. How do you do that on a virtual level?
Yeah, so I think one of the coolest things we offer is our leaderboard is interactive. So when people enter the tournament, they go out, they harvest a deer, we require them to submit that within 24 hours. And at the time it submits, it automatically goes up on our leaderboard. So that's like real time. And obviously during the high points of the season, the rut and things like that, when a lot of deer are being harvested, you know, there'll be hundreds of updates a day. And so what we found is people just really live in that leaderboard, and it's cool, man. It's just a whole bunch of people celebrating everyone else's success, you know, so that leaderboard is a huge, huge part of what we do.
Is messaging or posting part of it?
Yeah. So posts, comments, obviously, and then obviously we take as much of that as we can to social media as well. But on the back end of our portal, yeah, there's the ability to submit the photos, and then, you know, we feature as many of the hunters and the stories as we can, you know, and it's not necessarily just the big deer. I mean, maybe it's a father-daughter team or a grandpa-son, whatever it may be. There's just a whole lot of cool stories, you know, where that we can share. And I think one other thing you touched on that's, you know, when you talk about the pushback we've received, it was a lot of people are like, oh, you know, competition doesn't belong in hunting. And to a point, I would say I agree with that. But the people that have been a part of this, I think what they realize is all the bad things you think and you associate with competition, that's really not what lives here. You know, at the end of the day, it really is just a whole lot of people who enjoy it, who want to share in it. And it's just another reason they get to go out and do it. And at the end, you know, at our year end banquet, we may have a guy that goes from a team that goes from first place to third and a team that goes from fifth to first. And, you know, they're all drinking beers and hanging out and having a good time together. It's so much. It's, you know, to talk about the prizes too much is would be an injustice to what we're doing, because it really is just about everybody coming together and sharing a passion.
So my question on the messaging side is, do you see as a whole more encouragement and support, or are people jumping on there to talk trash?
Man, I think both. Yeah, I think both. I mean, we see a whole lot of encouragement and support. And you know, we see some like we see a lot of just healthy banter back and forth. And man, 95% of the true negativity we see is from people who aren't involved. It's just people from the outside who are looking in.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, too, like, because from that perspective, it's a group that are competing to hunt. And so the perception could be it's, you know, it's not about the hunt or whatever it is. But I mean, these are all people that would be hunting anyways. It's exactly. nothing about the app makes more hunting happen in that case, unless people are getting involved because of the app, in which case it's good to encourage outdoorsmen. But in the case of you have people competing for, you know, you're going for a certain size category, right? And that means they're passing on younger animals, which actually is good for a healthy population. If you want to encourage population growth, there's a very, very good argument to be made that there's an element of stewardship to the whole thing.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and we hear those stories every year. You know, look, I passed on this deer in 2022 because I wanted to have a chance at him in the 2023 event. And even beyond that, you know, like for me growing up in Southwest Missouri, my most fond memories of hunting go back to every night, you know, during the rifle season here in Missouri, we used to have check-in stations where people had to usually like literally go check in their harvest. And man, like all we did was hang out in rural gas stations, right? And look at all the deer that are coming in. And that's essentially what we're doing here. You know, so this has been going on forever. Quest wasn't the first people to start talking about the scores of deer or celebrating big deer. We just kind of found a way to use technology and bring it to people's doorsteps.
Oh yeah, no, when I was first told about it, I was like, okay, tell me about this again. And to your point, the biggest part is the educational part of it. Which is, right. I mean, for me, like I usually, there's one or two people that I usually hunt with every year. Like everybody usually has like a hunting partner, whether it's your kid or whether it's a friend or something like that. And it just gives some encouragement, you know, to go out and execute the best hunt possible and pass on things that you might take otherwise, right? Where you're going to take a pass on it to try to get a good score.
Absolutely.
What do you see in terms of, you know, I asked about growth, but what do you see in terms of membership? Has it increased year over year and is it continuing to grow?
Yeah. So one thing we haven't touched on, you know, when people sign up for our tournament, one thing that's super, super cool that we have is along with their membership, they get direct consumer discounts on about 50 different brands. So the second they sign up, they get codes that are anywhere from 20 to 40% off on a whole bunch of hunting brands. And what we saw 2018 to 2020, the COVID year, was crazy growth. And what we learned is a whole lot of people were signing up, one, to just be a part of the community, but two, they wanted to save money on products they were going to be buying anyway. And so 2018 to 2020, we grew at a very rapid pace. Things were going really, really good. And then COVID hit, and a whole lot of people that were signing up for the discounts, all of a sudden there wasn't anything to buy with discounts because supply chains were freaking dismantled, right? And so 2018 to 2020, we grew like crazy. And then as supply chain issues and inventory issues kind of ensued, we kind of hit like a, you know, plateau, and we just kind of set still for a couple of years here. And now we're back to a point where a whole lot of companies have excess inventory and they're throwing us super good deals on trail cameras or whatever it may be. And so our growth last year, 2023, was really, really good, and we expect our growth 2024 to be obviously way better.
So you find a lot of your growth is related to partnership arrangements, you know, with industry leaders, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a wide variety. Like I said, it's 50 brands, so there's four different trail cam providers that are a part of our event. You know, we've got Bose, we've got Vortex Optics, electric bikes, basically about anything that a hunter would need to buy, they can buy through our group and save money on.
I would call that a very good pitch that you have there as far as being able to talk to these companies of like, hey, we have an open audience of hunters trying to maximize their hunts to the best hunt possible, actively competing to the day that they're hunting. It's a pretty good opportunity for a hunting brand to get in front of those kind of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as you know, I mean, we're all loyal to brands that support us, right? And so that's the one great thing about this Quest community that frankly has helped us grow is people support the brands that support them. And so we see a very, you know, the camo companies that work with us, most of the people that hunt in our tournament are wearing that camo, right? So they're happy to support the brands that support us. So everybody wins.
Oh, absolutely. And so not only have you formed this company, because you got the hat there, I got to point it out. You're also a member of National Land Realty here. You know, what's the tie-in with working with land and running an app like this? Did you start out working in land and then the app kind of fell into place, or how has this all evolved?
Yeah, so I started working in land because I was a starving entrepreneur here at Quest who'd put all my money into this business, and that's a tough game as most people know. And so my dream was always to be a land guy. And whenever I started Quest, I lucked into a really great network of people, and as we were trying to scale this company, and you know, I'd quit my former job and wasn't making a whole lot, I had to find another source of income. Started selling land at another brokerage, and luckily that caught fire for me and kind of gave me the ability to make a living while trying to grow a small business.
So you've got kind of both true entrepreneurship. You've got both of these things feeding each other at this point.
Yeah. And now it's, you know, 7 years later, I look a lot smarter than I looked in the beginning, I can assure you.
I understand that fully. I can reflect that one. So you mentioned you were with another place before National Land. What kind of brought you into the National Land? It is more of a curiosity question.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So I was really happy where I was selling land, and you know, the land business, frankly, it changed my life. I'm very, very blessed to get to do this every day. And the challenge I had where I was at previously was I grew quickly, but I didn't have a ton of resources at my disposal to scale. So I'm, you know, as I'm kind of just like everybody self-reflecting, I'm like, okay, you know, the land game has been super good to me. I'm blessed beyond reason, but how do I continue to grow my business? And so I started to look in other areas. You know, I looked at multiple other brokerages. Frankly, I applied with a bunch of brokerages, and ultimately, you know, after a few phone calls with Lauren, and then actually had a couple phone calls with Ronnie even. And Ronnie, you know, Ronnie's one of those guys, you get on the phone with him and man, I was ready to run through. So I'm like, this is the guy. I'm going to work with this dude. And so, yeah, just, you know, at that point, my mind was made. After my second phone call with Ronnie, I kind of called and declined some other job offers and started here in January.
You know, that is the one thing that's consistent is everybody who's ever talked to Ronnie during the recruiting process feels like he just lights him on fire.
Absolutely, man. I'm not a fit guy. I get off the phone with him, I want to go do some push-ups.
I think that's an accurate observation. Again, this is Ronnie Richardson, our CEO, for those listening that are not affiliated with the company. Go look up some interviews with Ronnie Richardson on RFD TV and you'll understand what we're talking about. He's just one of those people that just exudes charisma. And he's going to listen to this, and he's probably going to give me a hard time about talking about it in this way, which makes me want to do it in the first place. Right. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So walk me through where this app is currently offering its services. Is it every state, any state can participate, or is it only available in certain states? Or tell me how that process goes.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So currently the whitetail portion of Quest is operating in 12 states. I won't name them all, but we could list them, you know, following this. So we offer the tournament in like the 12, what we consider the whitetail heavy states in the Midwest. And then one thing we're doing new this year in 2024, starting May 1, is we are going to launched the buying group nationwide. So essentially, you know, Sam's Club membership, where people who aren't in the states where we offer this tournament, they can simply pay a $75 fee and get access to this buying group for the year. So nationwide.
So you're offering, you mentioned Sam's Club. So it is kind of, it's a bulk purchase offer where the hunters can participate with each other for better deals.
Absolutely. Yep.
I like that concept quite a bit. That's a cool idea. That is one I was not familiar with until right now. And I like that a lot. How did you put that together?
Early on at Quest, frankly, it was just as we were trying to adapt and figure out how to make this thing go. What we found was kind of the point I hit on earlier. There's some people that felt like they would never have the deer in their event to compete, you know, the deer in their state to compete. And so I had a connection at the time. It was Muddy Outdoors, and I called them. I'm like, hey man, what do you think about just offering the people who are in our event a direct consumer discount? And in the first month we launched that, the guy called me back. He's like, Brian, you're not going to believe this, but he's like, we sold 300 cell cameras last month through your discount code. And at that point, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, there's something here. I mean, it wasn't this grand plan at the time. It was literally just kind of survival mode. Like what can we do to kind of give people another reason to enter? And so as that continued to grow pre-COVID, we had the plans of launching this buying group, frankly, a lot sooner, but then COVID hit and we sure didn't want to launch it when people didn't have access to the products they would want to buy. And so it kind of leads us to now, and we think the time is right to bring this thing to the market.
Yeah, this is a cool concept. I, like I said, I like this a lot. And so you've enabled a whole different sort of tier category of membership strictly related around product engagement and you know, discounted features. But there's also the community aspect of being able to be involved and see what's going on nationwide and all of the hunts nationwide. Are all states able to see all states within the app? Because I'm not in one of those areas, so I can't get in to see.
Yeah. So questhuntco.com, our leaderboards are live and they're actually archived as well. So people can actually go on there state by state and search past year's events and see all the deer that were harvested previously. And then once the season's open this year, they'll be updated in real time showing the deer across the states in which we offer the tournament.
So there's a dual side competition with that. You've got the competition within your own state, and then you've got people looking across state boundaries like, oh, I want to beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, man. I mean, there's a whole lot of states. What we've learned with this thing is there's a lot of guys that consistently kill big deer, and there's a lot of states that produce really big deer. But over the last 7 years, there's no argument. For us, everybody wants to talk about Iowa, but for us, there's no argument. The biggest deer year after year after year come from Kansas.
Kansas. Okay. See, you're filling me with information because Idaho doesn't have those deer.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to be a thing. So as far as plans for the future, what are the plans for the future? Do you plan on growing the Quest Hunt to all states, or are you and staying within certain categories, or what are you looking at putting out there here coming down the road?
Yeah, I think we're always looking, you know, a way to grow. I think whitetail wise, there's maybe one or two states we'd like to add. We've looked at maybe doing some Western species, maybe elk or mule deer here in time. But the big focus right now is just continuing to grow the community in the states we're in, and then to get this buying group up and running nationwide. So over the next couple of years, that is going to be the focus.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're looking to stay within whitetail, possibly expanding, you know, like you said, one or two states. And then is it something that you would bridge the gap and look at? Would fishing be a thing, or like how does that all kind of tie in? Or is it just concentrate on what you're good at? It's whitetail and we're staying there. Or.
Yeah, I think for right now, we got to stay in whitetail and get better at it. Right. I mean, we were the first to market and we do a lot of things well, but we're constantly improving. And so I think for the time being, we're gonna continue to continue to adapt and modify this thing and make it the best it can be in the states we're in.
So side question, what's the best part about doing this whole thing?
Man, it's the people, dude. Just, I've got to meet some of the coolest people. I've shared hunting camp with guys I didn't know prior to Quest, you know? And so friends, just getting to meet people, hang out, share camp, and just the relationships that come with that. And I think that's what's, from the outside, even looking in or as the owner looking in, I think that's what I enjoy too, is just getting to see those relationships form annually at our banquet. You know, we got a guy from Ohio that meets a guy from Kansas, and then the next year they're on a hunt together, you know? So that's definitely been the coolest part for me.
So tell me about this bank. Like, you know, you kind of glossed over the top of the banquet. This sounds like a pretty big deal.
It's a big deal, man. Yeah. It's logistically, it's a big thing. I mean, we score about 240 deer and administer 240 polygraph tests in about a 2.5 day window. And then it all kind of culminates into a big Saturday night event where we do a true banquet. So there's a dinner served. We do in real time. So people don't know as their deer getting scored all weekend what their deer officially scored. So in real time, we're calling all the participants up on stage and handing out the prizes based on score. So the people that are there are getting to witness the live reactions to how this whole thing shook out. And then we kind of cap it all off with a country music concert every year.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you run this on live feed as well?
We don't, learning to adapt. So we ran into some copyright issues the first time we did that, because we play background music.
You'll get dinged on that.
So we learned that lesson.
Got you. And so it's 2.5 days, you said?
Yeah, it starts on a Thursday and it all kind of caps off on a Saturday night.
Rotating locations, or is it always near your home base?
It's always right here in Springfield, Missouri. I would love to be able to do this thing elsewhere, but logistically, there's just so many pieces. You know, when we're talking about price packs across 12 states, for example, that's 24 box blinds that I have to deliver. That's six truckloads of box blinds, right? And then all the other prizes, it's pallets and pallets and pallets of prizes that get delivered here, and having the ability to store it, having the ability to load the prizes for everyone. It's something I have not been able to figure out how to do anywhere but here in my own backyard.
The biggest challenge of doing something like this, we talked about the best part of it. What's the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is just the ever-changing environment. You know, there's new rules and regulations that are dropping every year, and that's state by state, right? So we have to adhere to rules in 12 different states and modify our lie detectors tests by the state, because some things that might be, you know, baiting, for example, it's legal in Kansas, it's legal in Arkansas, it's legal in Ohio and Kentucky, but it's not legal in a lot of the other states we're in. So just staying on top of the rules and the season dates that change and trying to make sure it's a level playing field for everyone involved.
I was going to say, so that means that you're not telling people that are in states where you can bait that they can't do it, because that's your overall thing. You're matching the process to the things that they do on an everyday basis.
Yeah. That's a big part of our rules is our rules have to apply to your state, right? So if it's illegal in your state, it's illegal in our event.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Well, dude, I didn't realize the time had flown by so fast. I always try to stay on top of the time to make sure I'm like budgeted up, and I always go for like 40, 45 minutes. Let everybody know how they can jump in and participate in this app, because this is cool.
I appreciate that. Yeah, www.questhuntco.com. It's about a 3-minute sign-up process. You can sign up now and then add your teammate later. So if somebody wants to get in, they can go through the sign up, create a team. And then our website sends a link to their teammate, says, hey, you know, Max signed up for this event, join his team here. Pretty quick and easy.
Do you have a system where people can join as individuals and find a teammate through the app?
We do. Yep. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah, we do. So That also is offered. It's actually something that we just launched last year, and so we're still tweaking that system. But yeah, people can sign up and then essentially search for teammates through our portal.
Excellent. Well, Brian, I think this is a cool thing. I you know, like, as you jump into something, you're always kind of like, okay, so what? How's the conversation going to shake down? This is such a cool app. I dig this a lot. You've done a good job here.
Hey man, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's like I said, I think that's most people's experience with this. Whenever it's just so hard to explain, you know. I mean, that is still the challenge of this thing. People hear Whitetail Tournament, and there's just so many pieces to make that thing a go that it just takes education.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's what, a little more than $100 to potentially win $50,000 and hang out with a friend. Like at its,
yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
At its base, you're going to do the same thing you did. It's you know, one trip. I'm thinking gas. One trip's worth,
right,
to pay for entry, and then you're competing against the whole state, which is a really cool, yeah, value proposition that everybody has. So everybody listening, go out, jump on this.
Yeah, yeah, man. Thanks, Sam. Hey, and on top of that, you know, the majority of our people that sign up, they save more than they spend just through the discounts. So, you know, you can sign up tomorrow for $125 and save $700 or $800 on an electric bike. So
I love it. Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you very, very much for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Mac, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This concludes episode number 92 for the National Land Realty Podcast, discussing Quest Hunt with National Land Realty agent in Missouri, Brian Austin. You can learn more about land ownership and the buying and selling of land at nationallands.com.